Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 12. Death Looking Over the Left Shoulder. Look! Alyssa touched my elbow, drawing my attention. Shabardine is coming! I looked up from the cash register and saw him. The tax inspector was heading directly for our department. He looked businesslike in a classic gray suit, carrying his usual leather briefcase, smoothly slicked back hair, and impeccable poise.
You think it's an inspection? I asked, anticipating an unpleasant conversation.
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to take home a couple of tapes?
Alyssa suggested with hope.
That would be nice.
Eduard Petrovich Shabardin had a heavy energy.
He had about him an aura of power, but this power was dark, demonic, destructive. He was thorough and meticulous with the necessary stern and unyielding. He knew all the subtleties of tax law and easily juggled them so that in the end, the opponent always turned out to be a fool. It was not surprising that all the self-employed entrepreneurs of our small town were afraid of him. Alyssa and I knew this person not only as a tax inspector with whom we had to contact on business matters. He was also a coach in the martial arts club, and we often ran into him at the gym. In the late 90s, with the fall of the Iron Curtain in Russia and the former Soviet republics, there was a real boom in martial arts. Schools of wushu and karate began to open everywhere, and even our small town was no exception. These clubs were located in the same building as the weightlifting club. The gym was located in the center, and to the right and left of it were the halls of Oriental martial arts. We were all just like the water in the pot, so to speak. In the hall on the right, the boys' coach was San Sanich, middle-aged but strong, wiry and fit. He was the epitome of kindness and justice, smiling, surprisingly modest, calm. He was loved and deeply respected by all the students, from the youngest children to established adult athletes. They always greeted him with respectful bows, as was customary to greet a real sensei. In the hall on the left, the coach was just that Verti inspector, Eduard Petrovich, a complete antipode of his colleague. San Sanich brought kindness, decency, nobility, and moral values to the children, and his students grew up that way, unselfish, tactful, kind. He taught them to be strong and take responsibility for their strength. This, for example, was with Sasha, Alyssa's boyfriend. He was very protective of my sister, always ready to help, and I never heard a rude word from him. Shabardin's pupils were quite different. Like their coach, they were always looking down their noses and, in my experience,
just waiting for the moment to trip someone up, humiliate others, throw dirt at them. Unprincipled, impudent, ready to trample over each other. It was a kind of unspoken confrontation between good and evil that everyone felt. It was a good thing that there were no situations in which this confrontation could have flared up. Otherwise, I am sure it would easily have passed from the unspoken to the open, and the Cold War would have been immediately replaced by active hostilities.
Good afternoon, ladies,
the tax inspector said dryly, stopping at our window. He recognized us, but did not seem to want to show it. Good afternoon, Eduard Petrovich. I greeted him in a businesslike tone and stared expectantly at the man. I was already prepared for the worst, that he would start digging through the papers, looking for irregularities, and they were sure to be found, because often the requirements of our legislation were so contradictory that even if you wanted to fulfill them all, it was almost impossible. And if there were violations, then there would be fines.
What new things do you have? Action movies? Dramas?
The inspector asked. Was Alessa right? I thought, but I was not relieved. Maybe he's hinting at a bribe? After all, they say we can't do business without it. Thinking, I automatically told about new films, and when, in the end, Eduard Petrovich chose 4 tapes, I froze in a stupor. His eyes, the color of steel, looked at me coldly and piercingly, as if probing me, testing my competency. What is he waiting for? Maybe we shouldn't charge him money so that he doesn't inspect? I was about to let the inspector go and not ask for payment. But Alessa suddenly took the initiative.
4 tapes. That's 20 rubles,
she said in an emphatically formal tone, and looked at the inspector defiantly. He seemed surprised. Apparently, none of the entrepreneurs under his jurisdiction took payment from him, and this had already become the norm for him. But despite his surprise, Eduard Petrovich did not say anything, did not threaten with inspections. He just pulled out his wallet and handed over the required amount. Taking the money, Alessa defiantly whipped out a check and handed it to the inspector. Thank you, she said, continuing to stare at him, and then, as the man began to put the tapes in the briefcase, she added, and don't forget, you have to return them within 3 days. The inspector nodded dryly and grinned. The videotapes would not fit in the briefcase, so he had to pull out some of the papers. Shabardin casually put the documents on the counter, and I could not help seeing the Healer newspaper among them. I recognized it literally at a glance, because I read this publication from start to finish. It was the newspaper of our school. Only the students could get it by subscription. Wow! Was it possible that he, whom I considered to be the embodiment of evil, also aspired to the knowledge? I looked at Shabardin in surprise. trying to find something in his whole appearance that would confirm his impulses to the light, spiritual. I do not know if the inspector noticed my surprise or not. In any case, he did not show it. It was the first time I looked at him from a different angle. Years later, I realized that fate did not bring me to this man accidentally. Unwittingly, he also became one of those who pushed me to the path. On the eve of changes in my life, every meeting was a landmark. Shabardin called me to the tax office a week later, and the night before this event, I found a new issue of The Healer in my mailbox. In the centerfold was a large article with the garish title, "Armageddon is Coming," and an image of a demon destroyer. I usually read the school newspaper with great interest, but now I could not help but smile skeptically. Yes, once again we were promised the end of the world. Another horror story. I read the article solely out of respect for the school. It spoke of the ancient signs that Armageddon was approaching, which were now appearing in a mass order. 6 incurable diseases, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and so on. It was written in detail, with examples and proofs that many might have believed. Many, but not me. The critical mind of the pragmatist resisted so much that I did not even think that this was really serious. I was sitting in the tax inspector's office, trying to anticipate the conversation, and it promised to be unpleasant. "Why are you doing the wrong things?" The inspector shook his head reproachfully, holding out his hands with folded hands. "Why don't you pay your pension contributions, huh?" I looked at the man, trying to decide how to behave with him, to treat him in a new way, like a student of the school, and therefore as a brother, or like the big bad tax inspector, the meeting with whom the entrepreneurs of our city feared, as the devil fears the holy water. "You know," I said sincerely after a pause, "before opening my own business, I took instructions for self-employed entrepreneurs in your tax office on the first floor. I read each page carefully. If I didn't understand it, I read several times. And you know, I was always looking for a catch. What is it? Why do we assume that the government, one way or another, will make a fool out of you? I didn't find the trick then, but I can see it very clearly now." I spoke my mind honestly, and the inspector listened intently, tapping his clasped fingers on the table. I even thought I saw understanding in his eyes. "So, what's the catch?" Eduard Petrovich tilted his head with interest. "The fact is that if I pay contributions to the pension fund, I will not have any profit left. And I am a living person
and a young girl. And I also have my own needs. For example, I want to dress well. And I have this dilemma. Buy new boots or pay the taxes. That is, to meet my needs now or to give all the profits to the contributions in the hope that someday, in many years, the government will return them to me in the form of a pauper's pension. As I spoke, the whole picture came together in my head like a puzzle of small, desperate pieces. I knew I did not want to live like this. I did not want to put all my efforts into the work and give the profits to the state. To deprive myself of basic things all my life, so that the government prevented me from starving in my old age. Now you understand why I don't pay my pension contributions. Yes, because I do not expect to be so old that I will need a pittance from the government. I don't want this old age. I don't want this present. The inspector listened to my, you might say, heart cry very calmly. I stared into his steel-colored eyes, trying to gauge his reaction to such sincere and even audacious monologue. For a moment, I thought he was going to start telling me off, shaming me, swearing at me. But no, nothing like that happened. Shabardin remained extremely collected, focused. He paused for a few seconds and then looked at me like an executioner who sympathizes with a condemned person but cannot change anything. Well, if you refuse to pay, I'll have to take legal action. Eduard Petrovich took a form out of a desk drawer and filled it out for a few minutes. Then shoved a paper and a pen under my nose and asked me to sign it. Everything else I did was automatic. I signed it automatically, took the paper, said goodbye, and left the office. It did not occur to me that I was about to go to my first trial in my life. I walked through a long hallway past identical rooms, which differed only in the numbers and plates with names. There were identical men and women in gray suits. They came out of some doors, carrying some folders, papers, briefcases. They went in through other doors, passed me by, shook hands with each other as they went, and exchanged dry phrases. For a moment, I felt as if I were in the Matrix, and these people around me were the multiplied phantoms of a computer program. Faceless, soulless extras. Then I broke into a cold sweat. What if Armageddon really is coming right now? I thought. I went out and stopped near the entrance to the tax office. The extras were there too, focused, wearing serious-looking masks, getting out of their cars
and walking smartly into the building, rummaging through their files and not noticing anything around them. Tomorrow, the world will end, and I will not only be without a pension, but also without boots, I thought, ironically, and smiled bitterly. Nothing in this life had value. It was going to end all of a sudden, and I had not lived my life yet. What did I do? Only searched and prepared. I constantly planned what I would do tomorrow, and this mythical tomorrow still didn't come. It would never come again. An invisible veil that was hiding the truth fell from my eyes. I stood by the tax office and smiled. I must have looked strange in the eyes of the people in gray suits, but I didn't care. I was already out of the matrix. At this moment, an incredible lightness descended on me, a sense of release from a heavy load, the joy of realizing the truth. I had a summons in my hand. I would be tried as a criminal. It would seem that I need to be upset, but I felt happy. The trial was surprisingly quick, easy, and straightforward. There were three judges, two women, and one man. It was not like in the movies. No pomp, white archaic wigs, or black robes. The meeting was not held in a hall, but in an austere little room with nothing but a long table and chairs. All the three judges were dressed in identical classic suits, white shirts and ties, the traditional workwear of officials. "Do you understand that you need to pay pension contributions?" asked a plump lady of indeterminate age, looking up from her papers. "Yes, of course," I said. I was not going to argue. It was useless to prove anything to people who were nothing more than cogs in the social system. "You'll pay them, won't you?" the male judge asked softly. I got the impression that they were all somehow embarrassed to judge me, that they were uncomfortable by the fines, penalties, and legal costs they inflicted. Maybe they sensed my happy state, my detachment from the process, from the worldly vanity. I was only physically inside the situation. Mentally, I was above it. "Of course," I smiled and nodded again. When the official session was over and the judges stood up, I had another surprise waiting for me. All of a sudden, they started apologizing to me. And then they started thanking me. It did not make sense. What are they thanking me for? I am just the accused. Then, as I stood in the hallway, waiting for the official court decision to be issued, I could not help overhearing snatches of conversation.
it was all too easy.
Yes, we have never had such an easy process.
They were my judges. They came out of the office, excited. Their faces lit up with happiness and joy. Have I shared my state with them? I realized that it was all about my detachment from the world, about the sense of death looking over the left shoulder, which appeared thanks to the article about the end of the world in the school newspaper. I only now understood the true meaning of the article. It was to make people feel the impermanence of their physical existence, make it possible to feel the sobering presence of death, which is always near. And all this in order to allow people to look at the world with different eyes, to reevaluate their lives and rise above the worldly vanity. When I got home, I could not resist reading the Armageddon is Coming article again, finding in it a completely different meaning. And then I turned the page and saw what I should have seen just then. An invitation to the school's 10-day field seminar.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.